The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Anything you need, Jesus is here to take care of it. He's here to take care. He loves us, and He does take care of His children. Most of the time, I preach things that will help us and build us up personally, individually. I minister a lot about health and prosperity and the good things that God has for us, the glory that He wants to reveal in us and the power He wants to manifest in us and through us. And most of the time I preach the things that will build up the body individually. But every once in a while, the Lord gives me a message that goes beyond that. The Holy Spirit is like an executor to a will. You know what that means?
Yes.
That's if someone has a will and they leave you their property, and then they have to appoint someone to be the executor. Or if it's a woman, they call it executrix. And that person is the one. Now, they may or may not get anything in the will, but that person that's appointed is the one that's supposed to carry that will out to make sure that the people that are listed in the will get what's coming to them.
Amen.
That person is the one responsible. The Holy Spirit is our executor. Now, when somebody leaves you some property or something in a will, do you get it after they die or after you die? You get it after they die, not after you die. So many people think that, you know, after somebody, you know, you get saved and then you die and then you go to heaven and you get your inheritance.
No.
That doesn't even make sense. People that do go by that way, you know, there is a place, a spiritual place. But we're not talking about that today. We're living today. And we have an inheritance that we can have right now. We get our inheritance, and a lot of people don't realize it, so they don't claim it. If somebody leaves you something in a will and you don't know about it, you're not going to benefit from it. Or if you know about it and you choose not to use it, you're not going to benefit from it one bit. So the Lord has done everything for us. He's left us His last will and testament. The executor is the Holy Ghost to make sure that it's carried out, if we let Him. But so many people refuse it. But we are not of those that draw back. But today, you know, I know the Lord does care about us individually and personally. That's what salvation is all about. And we can't do the things He's called us to do unless we get ourselves straightened out and built up and walk in divine health and power. We have to concentrate on ourselves a great deal, because we have to pray. We have to seek the Lord. And too many times we concentrate on what somebody else is doing instead of seeking the Lord ourselves and seeking the kingdom of God. But there's a reason for it. It's not just so that we can stay wrapped up in ourselves. Because he who seeks to save his own life will lose it. So there's a difference in concentrating on yourself to seek the kingdom of God. When you concentrate on yourself, that means to get yourself right with the Lord, to seek His will for your life, to learn more about Him, to study His Word, to pray. That's different. But when we get too concentrated on our own circumstances and our own surroundings and the things that are going on around us and our own families and our own lives, now that's when we're seeking to save our own lives and we'll lose it. If we try to just have what we want and have our good things, you know, and have our comforts, then we can lose it all. But when we seek to give up ourselves and do His will, which that's part of the individual part of seeking the Lord and seeking His kingdom, because that's giving up yourself, because it's hard, because it takes putting yourself aside and getting on your knees or getting on your face or getting along with the Lord some way, somehow. But we need to grow up and move on from there. So, yes, we need to have healing so that we can grow up and go on. Yes, we need to have prosperity so that we can. It, you know, if you're not called to go into another, if the Lord has not told you to go into another country, then you're called to this country. If He hasn't called you to go even to another city, then you're called to whatever city you're in. But you're called. Every one of us are called. And every one of us is called to go into all the world. Your community is part of the world. So whether you be called far away or whether you be called close, you're called to go and preach the gospel. Heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out the devil. And stop him, because he doesn't have any more authority. I've heard some people say that his lease is getting ready to run out. And actually, it's a minister I listen to a lot, and I love him dearly, but you know, you don't agree with everything with everybody. His lease ran out 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago. He has no right, no authority. He is trespassing. The earth is ours. And Jesus bought our dominion back. Hallelujah. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. There are 6 billion people in this world. Billion people are headed straight for hell. And of the 1 billion that claim to be Christians or that put their name on a card saying they were Christians, how many, you know, may truly be born again? Well, only God knows. So more than 5 billion people. The Lord told Kenneth Copeland, this is an unacceptable statistic. It's unacceptable. The blood of Jesus was shed for all those people. We're to carry out what's already been done by the blood of Jesus. We're to carry it out. Telling the devil, get out of my house, get out of my family, get out of my neighborhood, get out of my neighbors, get out of my friends, and so on and so forth until we conquer everything. Everything that comes against us, we are to take dominion over. Everything. Every single thing. And if we will be willing and obedient, we will never fail. He always causes us to triumph. But you have to stand on the word. That's the only way to fight. You can't stand there and fight without your sword. You'll get beat up. You have got to stand on the word of God. Praise you, Jesus. We must take hold of this word. We don't have a right to be lazy. I'm nobody special. I have to fight too. I have to stand on this word every day. The devourer comes against all of us.
Yes.
We don't have a right to be lazy. We must take hold of this word. We must stand on it. We must be overcomers. We must triumph in everything. We must defeat the enemy in everything. Everything that comes. weapons against us. Everything. We must defeat him. And you can't do it without standing on the Word. You cannot do it without standing on the Word. God wants a victorious people. He wants a marching army. We can't sit at home any longer, sick and poor and unable to do anything. That's not God's will. We can all share in the glory. That's His will. We can all share in the harvest. You can't have a harvest if you don't plant seed. You cannot have a harvest of health if you don't plant the seed of health. By His stripes I was healed. Devil, get away from my body. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. By His stripes I was healed.
Amen.
And anything else is a lie because the Word of God is true.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And take your hands off my pocketbook. That's what I mean. Standing on the Word. Standing on the Word. Every day. I'm here to build you up so that you can take your proper place of dominion, authority, power over everything that comes against you. And as you do that, as you fight each enemy one by one that comes against you, you will get stronger and stronger and stronger. Not so you can sit and feel good and come to church and just feel good all the time and have a good service and go home. No, there is much work to do. You've heard over 5 billion souls. That is not God's will. He is not willing that any should perish. And God has chosen to partner with us. It's our job. He told us to do it. Hold your place in Hebrews and turn to Matthew 28. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Luke 10:19, you've heard it. He gave you power over all the power of the enemy. All of it. There's no exception. No matter what it is coming against you, you have power over it. But you've got to use it. You have to wield the sword. You have to use it. This is the sword. Same way when the enemy came against Jesus, he said, it is written. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Go, he says, go. Mark 16. We'll go into Hebrews in a minute. You've all heard this over and over. We've all heard it. Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Your neighborhood, your school, your job is the world.
Amen.
Like I said before, if you are not called to go to Zambia or any place else in the world, if he hasn't called you to go even to another city, then you're called to whatever city you're in. But you're called. Every one of you are called to preach the gospel to every creature. You don't need the power of the Holy Ghost if you're sitting home. Verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. You don't need that power if you're not coming upon any devils. But we do come upon devils. every day. Whether we ignore it or not, we come upon devils and we need to be doing something about it. We need to be on the offense. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. You don't have to worry about poisons. The enemy has tried to poison me and my family many times. And he hadn't succeeded yet, and he never will.
Amen.
They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. He gave them instructions what to do. Verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. If you attempt to do it, he will work with you, and confirming the word with signs following. Okay, now go to Hebrews.
Thank you, Lord.
13, Hebrews 13, starting with verse 11. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Outside the camp. You can read about that in Leviticus, all through Leviticus. Leviticus 4, 21, or chapter 4, chapter 16, and many other places it talks about the burning of the sacrifice outside the camp. Verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate.
Amen.
Not inside the temple area, but Golgotha, the place of the skull. Golgotha, outside the camp. Verse 13, let us go forth. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp. We are not called to be keepers of the aquarium. We're called to be fishers of men. Not to just stay in an aquarium. What is the purpose of you holding the Spirit of God?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Are we willing to bear the reproach? Woman or man, there's reproach.
Thank you, Lord.
But if we're not willing to suffer with him, we cannot reign with him.
Amen.
We cannot walk in the glory.
Amen.
Bearing his reproach, contemptuous abuse, despising, disdain, people looking down on you, scorning you, defaming you, dishonoring you. We shouldn't be upset about it when people do that to us. Bad reports about us, slander, speaking and writing bad things about us, railing at us, verbally attacking us, scoffing at us, taunting us, disgracing us, ridiculing us, reviling us, rebuking us, upbraiding us, and blaming us. We have to be willing to bear that. We have to be toughened to it. Love is not easily offended.
Amen.
God is love. When people do that to us, the Lord says rejoice. He told us to rejoice. And he told us to keep on loving it. They don't know what they're doing. That's what Jesus said. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They don't understand. They're fighting not against us, but against Jesus and against his word. When people offend us, revile us, reproach us,
thank you, Lord.
We need to let it make us stronger and keep on going.
Thank you, Lord.
Turn to 1 Peter And First Peter 4. You know, deception is the enemy's main trick.
Yes.
He wants us to be so wrapped up around our own selves and our own circumstances that we forget the more than 5 billion people going to hell.
Amen.
He wants us to be so, you know, you've said it, a fruit tree or something, if it's gnarled around itself, it's got to be pruned. Can't bear fruit that way. And so often, that he wants, he comes and he lies. And he starts telling us the opposite of what the Word says about us. He says, you're no good, you'll never be any good, you'll never do anything, etc., etc. You know the story. All the negative things are from the enemy. He comes and he speaks those lies so that your mind will start concentrating on that. And you'll start saying within yourself, that's his plan, for you to start saying within yourself, yes, I guess I can't do that. Who do I think I am? Etc. And there you go on down into the pit. And then you're so gnarled around yourself and your own problems and your own family and your own lack and your own need that you've forgotten all about the call of the Lord. And number one on his heart, when all the time he's interceding and he's calling you to be a light.
Amen.
To be a light. To give up yourself. That means your own thoughts about yourself. Whether they be bad or whether they be good. Give up your own thoughts about yourself. Your own desires, of your own plans, your own agenda. What you think you want to do. You'll never be happy. And if you try to do anything other than what He has called you to do, you will never be happy. You will be miserable all your life.
Amen.
Don't waste any time. We don't have time to waste. There's not much time left. I wasted too many years trying to seek my own happiness, and I was just the more miserable for it until I gave up myself and gave up my own life. If you seek to save your own life, you will lose it. But if you seek to lose your own self and your own life, then you will gain life eternal and power and glory and the ability to preach the gospel and do what God has called you to do. And it's glorious. Don't think you're nothing. Don't think you're nobody. God has a plan for you, or you wouldn't have been born.
Amen.
You were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. You were chosen by God. He has a plan for you, and it's a glorious and a good plan if you would just be willing to give up your own thoughts and your own plans and try to get to know His heart and what His plan for you is. Try to know what you're called to do by praying, by seeking His will, which is in His Word. If you seek His Word, He will begin to show you. If you will every day put forth some effort to seek Him, He will begin to show you step by step. And you will come out of the pit. I was in the pit. There are a lot of different pits. And I was in a deep one. And in there with me was despair, discouragement, depression, sickness, death, poverty. And as long as I sought my own way to get up out of that pit, my own plan to try to make my own way, my own life, I stayed in the pit and it just got deeper. So give up yourself. Give up yourself and come unto Jesus without the count. Give up yourself and start thinking about what's on His heart.
Amen.
And that's over 5 billion souls. 1 Peter chapter 4. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. If we'll get our minds off ourselves and get our minds on those more than 5 billion and ask the Lord to give you a vision of just one of them going down into the pit, just one of them, how they're consumed in the darkness. If you would have that vision of just one person, even if it's your enemy, it'll change your life. And you'll begin to cry out, "Oh, God, let me do something. Oh, God, send me. Oh, here am I. Send me. Use me. Help me to be what you've called me to be."
Thank you, Lord.
Let us ask God for that vision and for that burden. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord.